Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, SEA is a very important element in the security of payments. And as we all know, implementation has been a long process, but one that is worth it to ensure that it is done correctly for the security and benefit of all involved. So on this episode, we wanted to dive deep into a specific area of SEA, behavioral biometrics, as really an acceptable requirement for processing 3D secure CNP transactions and discuss what effect the recent announcement from the ICO means for this. So to unpack this, I'm joined by Ruhan Bassan, who is the EMEA Director at BioCatch, and Tim Sloan, who is the VP of Payments Innovation at Mercator Advisory Group. So there's certainly a lot of insights to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So Ruhan and Tim, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode on a certainly very exciting topic here, where we're going to be diving deep really into SEA here. Now Ruhan, I want to start today's conversation with you because there's this fantastic chart provided by your organization, BioCatch here, that's really taking a look at the UK SEA roadmap. And it's really got some important dates and information highlighted here. And for those of you who are following along on paymentjournal.com, you're going to be able to view this chart in the article below. So Ruhan, perhaps you could unpack this for our audience here and maybe pull out some of the key highlights and dates that are really noticeable that our audience should really be paying attention to.
Yeah, hi Ryan, thank you. So the date by which e-commerce business in Europe, you know, had to be compliant with PSD2, including the UK, has been, you know, a debate for a lot of, or a cause for a lot of debate over the last few years, right? The EBA under PSD2 RTS require SEA, so you have to satisfy two elements under inheritance, possession, and knowledge. And there's been a number of discussions in the industry in terms of how to deploy this, you know, taking us to the FCA, which published in August 2019 a 18-month implementation approach. So this took us to a deadline for the industry to be SEA compliant by March 2021. You know, subsequently with COVID and the current environment where we're in, you know, the readiness of the industry, that milestone has been moved a couple of times since. So it was moved to September 2021 this year. And just very recently in May, you know, the FCA announced a further delay in, you know, for the deadline there to be March 14, 2022. Now, where we are at the moment is the industry looking at which factors to deploy within that e-commerce journey. And there's obvious reasons why you would want to combine possession and inheritance, especially from an e-commerce, you know, flow. It doesn't use friction, and it makes for a nice user experience, meaning you don't get abandonment rates, you know, in that e-commerce journey, which is obviously a big concern for retailers. So the industry are looking at what's the best way to deploy and implement SEA. There's a number of questions around behavioral biometrics being that passive inheritance factor, so giving a really nice user experience. And we've had a couple of interesting discussions recently being sort of confirmed in the UK. So UK finance really driving the view in terms of using behavioral biometrics and layering this with additional fraud detection for the industry. Especially the banking industry, you know, that brought out a couple of discussions around, do we need consent for behavioral biometrics? And I know we're going to have more discussion around that part there. But essentially, to summarize, we're in a position now where we really, well, the industry really have to be ready, because there's potential serious consequences if you're not ready for SEA by next year, you know, March 2022.
You know, Ruhan, I love this roadmap, and it actually started right way before June 19th. This has been an ongoing, if you will, battle between the standards bodies in the UK and within the EU that want to make the authorization as tight as possible and provide multi-factor authentication versus the merchants that recognize too much friction and I lose my customers and I can't afford to do that. And so you have this battle that takes place as to what's the right implementation model to be able to satisfy the merchants that makes it easy, doesn't apply too much friction, but gets a reasonable, if not totally satisfactory amount of authentication versus the standards and getting that implemented and rolled out. And it's great that we're now starting to finally realize how important behavioral biometrics can be to that.
Yeah, I would absolutely have to agree with those points there. Now, Ruhan and Tim, I'm really glad that I've got you on this episode here, because there was a recent announcement from the ICO related to behavioral biometrics for PSD2 and SCA, or strong consumer authentication. So, Ruhan, if I could start with you, what does that really mean then for financial institutions and issuers?
Yes, absolutely. So just to clarify, that announcement came from UK Finance, which sought to get clarity from the ICO regarding the use of behavioral biometrics as that second factor, specifically for card-not-present, you know, e-commerce transactions. So in that flow, that the first factor will be the one-time password, which is sent to a pre-registered mobile device. So that gives you the possession factor. And then the specific question was whether the processing of behavioral biometric data in such a solution, you know, is permitted on the basis of reason of substantial public interest. So essentially the question is, would the industry require explicit consent from the end user under, you know, the UK GDPR when you process behavioral biometric data? So obviously, you know, this, if consent's needed, this raises a number of questions for issuing banks and, you know, people deploying this in terms of what the impact there will be on abandonment rates, you know, what would the impact be on stopping fraud, etc. So the ICO clarified that the use of behavioral biometric data can be used to satisfy, or can be used under substantial public interest. They clarified that it's gonna, you know, the issuing bank or the paying institution, you know, deploying SCA, they're going to have to demonstrate in the technology that they deploy that they can rely on substantial public interest in order not to get, or not be required to get, explicit consent from the end user. So this has given a lot of comfort in the market that people can go ahead and look at deploying behavioral biometrics as that second factor. And this is what we've seen to date, right? So we've seen a number of issuing banks looking and deploying currently behavioral biometrics, you know, as that second factor in the SCA workflow.
The adoption of behavioral biometrics has been something I've been focused on for 3 years now. And it has been slow to reach acceptance, but it's delightful to see that the bodies that are responsible for identifying multi-factor authentication have finally come to their senses, as it were, and are ready to accept behavioral biometrics as an authentication method.
Yeah, no, Ruhan, I am curious, because it sounds like as though that, you know, your thoughts on the ICO's response would certainly be positive here, but I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And then also kind of going beyond that, how is your organization, BioCatch, working with consumers or customers to help them address the SCA requirements that we were just talking about?
It's absolutely positive news from the ICO, you know, giving that clarity so that organizations can benefit from using inherence, your behavioral biometrics, as that inherence factor for SCA. So the obvious benefits there is the passive nature of the authentication. So it's not going to intrude on the user experience and subsequently abandonment rates within e-commerce flows. The key here is to look at authentication, but then also, as UK Finance recommended, is to layer this with additional fraud detection. So ultimately, the aim here is to reduce, possibly stop fraud happening. And this is being done through the strong customer authentication that's being applied to the transactions. So the interesting discussions with customers at the moment is around obviously meeting compliance. So this is to provide the SCA factor, but then also look to how, you know, a solution can help with providing additional fraud detection. So that is that layering the authentication approach with additional fraud detection. And there's a number of, you know, ways we can look at this. So the first one being the OTP, you know, just looking at the behavior within that OTP and, you know, provide a authentication score back there so that you satisfy SCA. But then BioCatch has the ability, the solution to also overlay that with additional attributes, you know, performing cognitive analysis on the OTP, you know, looking at stuff such as age analysis, you know, going one step further, and this is maybe introducing a differentiator within the OTP, such as a long-term memory field, you know, something that you would, as the user, would know intrinsically, and the way you're going to enter that data is going to be completely different. So we have these, you know, very interesting discussions happening at the moment, whereby it's not just hitting the compliance, but also it is reducing fraud by layering in additional fraud detection.
I love that ability to use the OTP response as another way to measure the behavioral characteristics of the user. It drives a prompt and then they have to respond, and that gives you significantly greater signal to be able to evaluate. Very clever.
Yeah, I'll certainly agree with Tim's point there. But before we wrap things up, Ruhan, you know, I'd like to leave our audience here with kind of some useful tips or some points that you could really call out for our audience here. Because as we've been discussing, you know, security and SEA certainly isn't something new. It's been a very, very long journey, as kind of we pointed out by that roadmap at the beginning of this conversation here. So for those organizations that have really already started down the path to address the SEA compliance guidelines, what advice do you really have for them?
I would firstly say is to keep an eye on technology. It's an evolving space, and especially around behavioral authentication. This, you know, we can have a really interesting discussion around all the additional benefits that behavioral, you know, biometrics can provide alongside SEA. There's going to be a lot of interesting developments here in terms of the layering and bringing in additional fraud detection with the authentication. So my advice there is, firstly, get compliant as soon as possible. Better, you know, that's the strong approach here. And then also look at including additional fraud detection, very much aligned with the UK Finance sort of opinion on deploying SEA, which I'm a strong supporter of.
I'd throw in there that banks need to realize that consumers have a range of bank cards in their wallets. And they need to start thinking about what is it that's going to drive my bank card to be top of wallet when they're shopping online. And if their authentication method drives the customer away and some bank does it better and makes it easier while also protecting the account and that customer's money, then they're going to lose that customer. Not in they're going to destroy the card. They just won't use it anymore. Somebody else's card is going to get top of wallet because that financial institution figured out how to use behavioral biometrics to better enable risk-based authentication.
Absolutely agree with that, Tim.
Yeah, certainly agree with that there, because I mean, it really relates then back to the point that you were making towards the beginning of this conversation here and just removing the friction, or where the merchants realize that, hey, if there is too much friction that is applied, especially on the security side, you are going to have cart abandonment, which certainly merchants don't want for it. So it's certainly fantastic.
Nor do banks.
This is certainly very true. I think it expands across the entire payments ecosystem that nobody wants that. So with that being said, Ruhan, Tim, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about SEA and behavioral biometrics. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks, Ruhan. Thank you. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Tim. Bye-bye.